We have a special bright spot, one of the bright spots of church life, I believe, and that is the dedication of a little one, of a baby. And if they would come, Mom and Dad and Tyrone, and then all the family members gather around as well. Now, this is quite a family. Aunts, uncles, you're welcome to join. That's right. Grandmas, grandpas, great-grandmas, great-great-grandma, everybody. I tell you what, it's quite a heritage here to see this. Wow.
Thank God.
It's fantastic. And I don't think I need all this stuff down here. Let's get rid of some of it. Of course, I'm a little scattered. I can assure you I'm a little scattered, but we'll make it. We'll make it. And look at this. How many greats over here is this? Two, right? Yeah. Yeah, five. Look at this. Five generations here. Isn't that something? How often do we see that? Not very. And we've got a few generations over here too. What a blessing. What a blessing. And your whole family's here, right? This is it. I don't know if you had one hidden somewhere or not, but you know, it's just great. I love this. Not everybody has it. And I don't want to say anything to make them feel like they're less. But when you see this is a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And wow, thank the Lord. Mark chapter number 10. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for bid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. That's a wonderful passage. We find in Matthew's gospel, the record that is given us there that gives us another side to that blessing. This includes all of us, not just this family up here this morning. This includes all of us. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have had a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. We have a tremendous responsibility to walk carefully so that our children learn who Jesus is. Not to offend them. We say, "Well, I didn't mean to." I know there's so many times that it happens without meaning to, but maybe carelessness and can lead to that. But may God help us not to be in that category. God delights in children. We've read that. He takes pleasures in them. And it's one of the greatest gifts that God gives to the family. He gives to a husband and a wife. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Colin and Joanna have chosen today to bring Tyrone to be presented to the Lord this morning in Christian dedication. In that, they're presenting themselves first of all, and then they present Tyrone to be dedicated to the Lord. And as I mentioned, we have grandparents and uncles and aunts and a wonderful family. Deuteronomy chapter 6 reminds us once again Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently, diligently to thy children. You'll talk about them when you sit down. You'll talk about them when you rise up, when you walk by the way. All of the things in the aspects of life to talk about the things of the Lord. Jesus took the children up and blessed them. We should take them up and bless them as well. There's no higher calling this morning for Colin and for Joanna than to raise Tyrone to serve Jesus Christ. No higher calling.
That's right.
If it would be possible for you to be in some high position, Colin, your highest position is to raise Tyrone for the Lord. Joanna, the keeper of the home, to raise Tyrone. You can't find a better job, higher job. And so then that brings us to the reality of the proverb, a wise son brings joy to the family. And so bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord provides that. The best thing that you can do is to teach Tyrone the fear of the Lord. It's what Proverbs 1:7 tells us. The beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The first thing, you can't start too soon. Now, teaching, talking, training. He doesn't understand a bit of it yet, but one day, when maybe you're least expecting it, it'll click. The successful application of everything that Tyrone learns depends on him, first of all, learning the fear and understanding the fear of the Lord to follow God. And so I believe that the Bible urges, and I am urging you today as parents to love God with every ounce, every strength, every fiber of your being, and then to teach, pattern that and to teach that to Tyrone. So that as you love God, and as you love one another, you'll model for Tyrone. Modeling it. It's just living day by day. The love for God so that he will too one day want to be a Christian and serve Christ. Colin and Joanna, by coming forward before God and his people today, you are declaring your desire to commit yourselves and to dedicate Tyrone to the Lord. Is that correct? And so as you've come freely this morning to present yourselves to the Lord, I would ask, Colin, that you would hold Tyrone as the head of the home and commit together, dedicating yourselves so that you can dedicate your son. We cannot truly dedicate our children until we have dedicated ourselves. So number one, and I'll read all four of them, get your consent at the end. Do you today recognize this child as the gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing? Do you now dedicate your child to the Lord who gave him to you, surrendering all worldly claims upon his life in the hope that he will belong wholly to the Lord? Do you pledge as parents that with God's fatherly help, you will bring up Tyrone in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, making every reasonable effort with patience and love to build the word of God and the character of Christ and the joy of the Lord into his life? And do you promise God helping you to make it your regular prayer that by God's grace, Tyrone will come to trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of his sins and for the fulfillment of all God's promises to him, even eternal life, and in this faith, follow Jesus as Lord and obey his teachings? Is that your commitment this morning? Grandparents, what a blessing grandparents are. And as I've said before, as several years ago, I've become a grandparent, so it gives me a whole different perspective than what I used to have, of course. Grandparents, we have a tremendous responsibility in raising and helping raise. It's not our responsibility to do the actual raising at this point, for sure, but it is our responsibility to continue to support and to guide, to strengthen, and ultimately to pray for. Build, not a cliche, but build a defense around Colin and Joanna's home with our prayers. And the church. We're reminded again this morning of the responsibility that is ours as the church, the body of Christ, the responsibility that is ours to teach the gospel story to the younger generation. As a matter of fact, again, we're reminded in Joel that he commands us to tell of God's work to your children, and let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. Doing everything that we can as a body, part of the body of Christ, members of the body of Christ, do everything that we can to bring Tyrone to the knowledge of Christ as his Savior, everything that we can, making it easy for him to serve God and hard, hard to miss heaven and go to hell. We don't want that to be the case. We want heaven to be his end. And we have that commitment. We again this morning as the body of Christ, as the church, the local church, agree and commit to being faithful to Tyrone. Would you say amen? Okay. Grandpa, bless him and dedicate him to the Lord.
Come here, Bob. Wow. What a blessing. Remember when you were dedicated, Joanna? God answers prayer. He really does. So let's call upon his name together. Heavenly Father, how can we say thanks for the things that you have done for us? Things so undeserved. We thank you today for redemption. We thank you for this family. We thank you, Lord. You continue to pour grace into homes and hearts and lives. And you continue to bless. In the midst of difficulty and tragedy, you give life and blessing. So we bow here today with a heart of gratitude, humbled by your salvation and your grace, humbled by your invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace. And so we do on behalf of this home and this family and this precious little guy. We thank you for Colin and Joanna. We thank you how you led their lives together, and it's been centered around you. Their interest to serve you attracted them to each other, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the blessing of little Tyrone. We thank you, Lord, for their desire not only to dedicate him to you, but ask for your help and to your involvement, engagement, and to commit themselves to this life work. We thank you that you don't ask us to do it alone. Thank you for your Holy Ghost that is able to guide, and we can walk in the Spirit. I pray today, Lord, your Spirit would be upon him from an early age. Lord, we rejoice in his happiness now, and we thank you for it. And Lord, we even on a human level, we get excited when it's supposed to say amen, and he coos and says things. But oh God, When that will becomes active in decision making, I plead you would help each and every one of us to be an impact like was directed. We pray today that your spirit would be upon him. Lord, you and you alone know the talents and gifts you've given him and instilled in him that will come out in years ahead. I pray, Lord, that they would be surrendered unto you early and completely, O God, for thy kingdom. I pray today, Lord, that you would help in the spirit of the home continue. You know all the things that will distract. But today, Lord, we dedicate this home and him back to you again. You have been faithful, Lord, and so we can trust you that as we dedicate his life and we dedicate our lives unto you once again to impact and to live for you in such a way that would engage him, that, oh God, no matter what calling, no matter what occupation, that, oh God, that we would help cultivate him to be a one who would make disciples, that it would, oh God, would be a champion of holiness, that there is a work of God that can move in the heart. I pray he early would grapple and strive with the nature within, that you are able to purify it. I plead, oh God, that, Lord, it would be in the forefront of his mom and dad's minds, oh God, to bring it to his attention and bring him to face you as the one who is able to purify his heart by faith. I pray, oh God, that he would see the joy of living for you. I pray today that you would impact us as a church, as a family, oh God, to keep in mind the eternal rewards of choosing to live for you rather than the pleasures of sin for a season, and it would impact this young man and his life for thy glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege to be part of your kingdom. Thank you for the privilege to come back to you in a free will offer. And thank you, Lord, for the willingness of Colin and Joanna to say, here, Lord, thank you for this blessing. Guide us as we raise him for you. We love you, Jesus. We are thankful for the change you've made. And you continue to do in lives and in homes. And so today, Lord, we do pray for light. We pray for a love of the word. We pray for the Holy Ghost to deal early with him. But we also pray for your power to be upon us, to be bold, that he impact others for you. That, oh God, souls could be impacted through his life for you. We know it is your will. And so today, we pray that he would come early to say, here am I, Lord. Speak, Lord, thy servant hears. We ask these things in your lovely name, the name of Jesus, the name that calms our fears and gives us full confidence. As the songwriter said, oh, to know the joys because you live. Thank you, Lord, for this day. He is yours. We are yours. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. What a privilege.
Praise God. Bless you. Here's the Bible, the certificate, and a letter for him to be opened on his 12th birthday. So blessings and praying that God would use him for his glory. Thank you so much, all these grandparents, great-grandparents, just fantastic. I think we had a sister that didn't come up here, though. Two sisters. Wow. Should have grabbed a hold of them and yanked them up here. Blessings. Amen. Praise God. I believe it was a year ago tomorrow that we dedicated Everly. I think it was the 15th of September. And keeping them close here. So, amen. It was also a year ago Friday that I made another trip up north for an accident. A year ago this past Friday, the Herald had an accident and changed my life forever. never be the same, I guarantee you. And I hope he's not either. Our children are born at a disadvantage.
Did you know that?
My children were born at a disadvantage. Had a grandfather on both sides that was ministers, pastors, faithful and dedicated to the cause of the kingdom, but my children were born at a disadvantage. Every one of you were born at a disadvantage. A disadvantage based on sin.
Because all we like sheep have gone astray. There is none righteous, no, not one. We have and live in a fallen world where sin seems to be rampant. Sometimes it seems as though it's more rampant today than ever before. But we go back through history, as I've already done at the beginning of the service, and we can see that sin has always been rampant. It's always been dark. When you look at it from the earthly standpoint and how sinful things have become or seem to appear. And we grieve those times. Over and over again in the Old Testament, we find that God is challenging the Israelites and admonishing the Israelites to not follow in the idolatrous ways of the pagan nations in which they lived. You know, they were in Egypt for so many years. And I'm afraid to say, but I think that it's accurate, that in those 400 or so years that they were in Egypt, that they had taken on too many of the ways of the Egyptians. They became at least too comfortable with them. So that when they got out into the wilderness and they were at Sinai and Moses had hidden away and he wasn't visible anymore, they quickly turned back into, in their mind and in their thinking, to the things that were more comfortable to them in Egypt. We find that over and over again. And in the book of Exodus, we see that it says something to the effect that our God is a jealous God, and he gives the iniquity of the father unto the children. And that does not mean that I bear the consequences in myself, in my relationship to God for the sins of my parents. But what it does mean is that there is a cyclical nature that takes place, whether in the realm of the sinful or in the realm of the righteous. That the cyclical nature of sin, when a father's life is wrapped up and rampant in sin, the likelihood of that child is also. Unless there is some kind of an outside other source, sometimes it's a mother, sometimes it's a grandmother. We can look in the New Testament and realize that that's what the case was with Timothy. Paul says to Timothy, your mother and your grandmother. And it seems as though we could add in there, at least a perspective in there, that his mother and his grandmother snatched Timothy out of the darkness of sin in the world and made him into a presentable individual for God's glory, for God's kingdom, so that Paul could call him a spiritual son. Tells us then that we have a tremendous responsibility. We have a tremendous responsibility to navigate the avenue of life as parents, fathers. We need dads. We need dads. We need moms and dads committed in the home for sure. As each generation passes, the potential and even the biblical picture that when sin is free, that each passing generation becomes more corrupt, more dark. You've heard me say it before, and I'm going to say it again. I hope that it resonates in your heart, for the reality of it is that every generation must experience a revival. I think we call generations today every 20 years. Biblical days, I believe it was every 40 years. 20 years. We have some people here this morning that are 80 to 100. Ronnie and Faye are not here. Ronnie is in his 80s. And Brother Gibson's in his 80s. He's not here. Harold's in his 80s. 90. Excuse me. One generation. 61 or 60 to 79. It's another generation. That's got a few of us here. I'm still below that. Barely. It's another generation. We come down another 20 years and maybe that number begins to swell quite a bit. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, one generation plants the trees and the next generation enjoys the shade. Isn't that the truth? Caleb sent us a picture this week of a container of apples that he had harvested off the trees at the house that they live. And I said, that reminds me of Israel going into the Canaan land. They were reaping things that they'd never planted. And here we see the one generation plants the trees and the next generation enjoys the shade. The reverse of that is true. On the other side of things, it's true that sin planted, the next generation quite often reaps the cost of that. What we find today in our culture, as we look around us and we see all the tragedies of our world and the tragedies of our country, the tragedies of our society, of our culture, what we are seeing, perhaps the greatest thing that is causing these tragedies to become forefront, is the breakdown of the family. The decline of two-parent homes. Moms and dads are necessary. Leading dads are critical. Sometimes we read and hear of people saying that fathers are a major impediment to the spiritual health of children. And I don't want us to necessarily look at that side of it. I want us to understand that it holds true on both sides. That the father is either an impediment to the spiritual health of the child, or they are a blessing, an ingredient of strength to that child. It's necessary for us to feel that responsibility and to hold that responsibility and then to intentionally act on that responsibility. Simply put, a love for God, a submission to His Word, should control us, should saturate us all the time, everywhere, in everything that we think, in everything that we say, in everything that we do. Love God with our entire being. And then so saturate our lives, the lives of our children, with God's Word. Not holding their mouth open, forcing them to receive and to pour it in, but to present it on a regular basis so that it becomes habitual. It becomes a natural part of their lives they learn from. We can become like the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, and we could write it down in small, very small print, and we can hang it off of our foreheads and dangle it around our neck, and we can do all of this thing of the externals. But God never said for us to do it that way in that spirit. He said for us to saturate our lives, to cover every part of our lives with His Word. To permeate is what one writer says. Permeate every aspect of your life. Judges chapter 2. It's a sad commentary. Joshua had dismissed the people. The people had served the Lord all the days of Joshua, it tells us. They had seen great work that the Lord had done for Israel. They had experienced many wonderful things. But then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years old. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there rose another generation after them who did not know the Lord. To me, that jumps off the page and slaps me. One generation. Moms and dads, this morning, let me challenge you before we go. We have a huge responsibility to not allow that to happen on our watch. On our watch. Do everything that we can. Find in Scripture what you can do, what you need to do, what you should be doing, and do it intentionally. Work at the job. Not be so caught up in the idolatrous things that are around us. The idolatry of our day is different from the idolatry of Israelites' day. But it's still very, very real. But don't be caught up in the idolatry of our day, but to focus and intentionally point our children, lead our children into a relationship, a personal walk with Jesus Christ. Not allow that statement to be said of the generation to follow us. In just one generation, Israel had turned away from God. And so far removed. They didn't even understand. They didn't even know. They didn't even. There was no comparison in that generation. Let's be faithful. Let's be faithful. Let's be faithful. You say, well, I can't. I'm not strong enough. Well, I know we're not. But somewhere, as we rest in God and His strength, He provides. He provides. I can assure you that I was not a perfect parent. I can assure you. But there's something about it that God can take our working, our effort, intentional effort to point them to Jesus and use it for His glory. For those of you that have a wayward child this morning, don't give up. Don't give up. God hears the cry of the parent. And sometimes the enemy comes in a way that we are not prepared, we don't see, we are not able to grasp, and he does damage that. But we can still surround them and support them with prayer. God help us. God help us to do that. Let's stand together. Amen. What a blessing little Tyrone is. Thank God for mom and dad who want to teach him the ways of the Lord. Praise God. Let's do our best as a church to help them. Amen. Let's dismiss ourselves this morning by singing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.